ESPN 97.5.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I didn't plan on it, but I kind of did something similar last year, but, just reminding myself and, remind everybody it's regular, you give me the shot, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to just make you pay. So, I often just have to remind myself, too, like, I'm still that guy. I can still play this game at a very, very high level. So I think that was just, like, one of those moments, it's like that.
Stroud mean mugging. He did that after that touchdown pass that threw to Nico Collins. Perhaps a little too soon, because that throw that he made to Nico Collins tore Nico Collins' hamstring off of the bone.
Oh, it's CJ's fault?
It is CJ's fault.
I mean, Nico's got to stretch a little more before the games. Maybe it was Nico's fault.
Are you a limber fellow?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
No?
Are you? Yeah.
Give me a couple of these ranch waters.
That's a different conversation.
No, it's the same conversation.
So if we had the entire office run a 40-yard dash, how many injuries do we have? 50%?
Good question.
60%?
Good question.
I mean, I think Blanker's
You all embarrass me. I'll just be frank.
I think Blanker's tear is a hammy. We know Lance probably has to go to the hospital.
Don't say that. Now he's going to be mad at us when he gets here.
It's a day that ends in a Y.
P-Mac said the same thing. you guys have the shared experience of producing. But, yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing. It really is.
Who runs the second fastest 40 at the station?
Doesn't matter.
I guess it's Mapes.
It doesn't matter.
Mapes is probably the second
most. It doesn't matter. Y'all need to get on my level. We are a team, and I mean – only the boss Todd, who's got the caviest calves of all time. That's it. Everybody else, you got to get on our level, okay? Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm being mean.
That's okay.
Limber shaming people.
That's okay.
Fat shame people, limber shame people.
Mm-hmm.
We do what we got to do, and we hope that the Houston Texans shame the New England Patriots on Sunday. Look, they've been cocky a couple of times this year. Stroud clearly cocky in that moment, and I feel like I have the ability to be cocky about the Texans' chances against the Patriots on Sunday. I think they're going to win. I am hoping they will blow out, though I am not so sure about a blowout. We do have a couple of comments, again, asking confidence level 1 to 10 that they get a win. Confidence level that they get a blowout win. Hugh Dab comments on the Twitch, 69-0 Texans.
Nice.
That would be sick. Another texter, Ritter destroyed the Texans last year. Co-signed by Captain Fish 317. Ritter did throw for 300-plus yards against them.
I did forget about that one rookie quarterback having success that's no longer a quarterback in the NFL.
Who's that?
Oh, I guess Ritter wasn't a rookie.
Desmond Ritter was not a rookie.
Okay.
No. Desmond Ritter, he just stinks, and he played well. But it's not like he destroyed them. I mean, the final score of that game was, what, 20-19?
Mm-hmm.
Walk-off field goal by the Falcons in that one. I don't think that Drake May is going to figure it out this first game of his NFL career. I don't. But I could see how maybe, just maybe, the Texans go into this one feeling themselves a little bit too much, liking the smell of their own, toots.
Yes, but at the same time, like, think about what you were telling us, on after Sunday's game, where it's like it was not a great vibe in the locker room after the game. Like, they weren't, partying and celebrating that they won that game on a last-second field goal. That it was a very calm, and there was, clearly some frustration in that game. So that kind of lends me to the fact that they're so unhappy with how they're playing themselves right now. I struggle with the idea that they would overlook the Patriots because they know how poor they've played, and they know how lucky they are to be 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
And that should continue this week. Like, they should be thinking that we're good enough to dominate this team if they stop beating themselves.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're not overlooking the Patriots. Because it'll be gross on Monday if they lose. It'll be no fun. No fun if that happens.
No, it's funny. This is the market where people see a sports disaster in front of them, they just check out. They don't want to hear about it. They want to bury their head in the sand.
Because I like Drake May, but I mean, even like his, even though you're going to be missing part of your secondary, he shouldn't have great success. I mean, when you look at what the Texans have done against quarterbacks when they're blitzing at a high rate, they're struggling. These quarterbacks are just struggling so much.
For sure.
Josh Allen, like, they should be getting after this kid this weekend.
No, Kamari Lassiter should not be a huge issue. They just generate a lot of pressure. Now, for sure, maybe they'd be generating more pressure. I saw this. Someone put together a list of the most impactful free agent signings this offseason. And number six, Jonathan Greenard. The Minnesota Vikings, 5-0 Minnesota. 4 years, $76 million. You know who didn't make it? Danielle Hunter.
I mean, he hasn't been overly impressive.
Hunter was their biggest free agent signing.
Mm-hmm.
Diggs is their biggest offseason acquisition. Diggs has delivered to this point. Danielle Hunter, this is the game where you get those ultra veiny biceps out and clothesline Drake May a few times.
I mean, this, you know, and Aziz Elsayer was number 9 on that list. So obviously that's been a good impact for them. Look, this is a guy who had 16.5 sacks last year. He has 1.5. I know numbers are not everything, but when you bring in a guy like Danielle Hunter, you expect to see like real results. And also, when you watch this team on defense, while Will Anderson's numbers aren't great either, it does feel that there's more impact on the game, that he is getting more pressures on. I'm sure, and maybe the numbers, the nerd numbers are going to say I'm wrong in this, but just from feel of watching it, you feel the impact of Will Anderson every game. I mean, he's getting close to the quarterback, that he's forcing errant throws. I don't feel that from Hunter, and maybe that's because that's where the protection's going, and maybe that's why you're seeing the success from the interior defensive guys. But Hunter just hasn't been the impactful guy we've wanted. And I know that, you know, there's people are wanting to do revisionist history a little bit and ask about Hunter versus Greenard again. I'm still, you know, team Danielle Hunter in this, but it just hasn't been as great. This is a weekend where he should feast against Drake May.
Feast.
Especially if you get out early. If you get up 14 points on the Patriots and they have to throw the ball and your defensive line can just pin back and go after. I mean, this is a team that, I don't know if the Patriots, are they official? I don't know if they've officially benched Ramondre Stevenson yet.
Stevenson played last week and he was their best player.
Yeah.
They are idiots if they bench him again.
But fumbles are coming.
Yeah, listen, they're so bad, they have to put him out there. I don't know what they, you know, hey, we're making a point. I think players who fumble know that they got to stop fumbling. If it keeps happening, clearly they're not learning from it. But, I mean, he's their best player. That's the only way they win is if they win, get 150 yards or something like that from him. They don't have the receivers. The quarterback's in his first game. This should be a win for the Texans. This should be a blowout. 713-780-3776 to call to text. We are at Drift in the Heights. He is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. I'm getting a ranch water. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights.
Heard that noise, Joe.
I like your ranch water.
Yeah,
there, Paul.
The ranch water's here. I'm telling you, these are the best ranch waters in town. Many a night, Paul has stumbled in here and had to Uber home. Many a night.
Yeah, you're stumbling in or you're stumbling out?
Who knows?
Stumbling in's a whole new issue, Paul.
No, I would never stumble into anywhere because I have impeccable balance like a cat. By the way, shout out to the cats that were here. They're my guys.
They're clearing out.
They're my guys. So this is something we touched on earlier in the week. I think there are some people who are looking at, hey, another quarterback coming into this game and it does throw everything out of whack. So I looked up the numbers over the last few seasons of backup quarterbacks in their first start as an underdog against the spread. So going into this year, and I don't know what the numbers are this season, but someone wrote an article about this. Backup quarterbacks in their first start as an underdog are 20-49 going straight up against the team they're playing. So that bodes well for the Texans going up against Drake May making his first start. However, backup quarterbacks in their first start as an underdog are 37-30-2 against the spread since 2021. So this is something that some people have brought up and say, hey, and I know DJ did when he was on with us on Tuesday, is that, hey, don't bet on a team to cover when a new quarterback is making their first start. I think this is a different circumstance. I think this is a Drake May on a bad team making his first start. A bad team that does not have great receivers, a bad team that does not have a great offensive line. In fact, an offensive line that was the reason that Jacoby Brissett was still playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with all that being said, I feel like this is adding up to a game where the Texans should cover. However, I'm too much of a coward to actually feel confident about it.
Oh.
The answer to the question I've asked, 1 to 10 confidence level, Texans beating the Patriots on Sunday, I'm at a 9. But when it comes to the Texans covering, I'm at a 4.9999999999.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they cover.
9-9.
But I feel like if the Texans don't cover this weekend, it's going to be because of garbage time.
Oh.
Like, I think we're looking like it's a backdoor cover. Oh. Drake May, you know, leads the team down. They're down by 15.
Okay.
They score a touchdown at the end of the game. Texans don't cover. Yeah, you lost your money if you bet on the Texans, but we're not going to, you know, we won't really view it from that lens on Monday. I just don't see it. Like, you know, think about wins, the Patriots winning. Of quarterbacks making their first home start, they always lose. They always lose. I mean, this is not something we see happen very often. Maybe it's different because it's not week one, you know, what the number is. But Caleb Williams was the first quarterback to win his first home game in week one since David Carr. It's since 2002 that's happened. Two quarterbacks have won their first home game in week one. I would imagine that trend is maybe it's a little bit different if in semantics of week two and three and four. But there's not a lot of great success from rookie quarterbacks. And it's not that I don't like Drake May. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback.
I think he's probably not going to be good.
Really?
Yeah. This is what I say about every young quarterback. They're probably not going to be good. Put him in there. See if he's good. If he's not, move on.
Yeah. Oh, move on.
This is how every team should operate. I think it's very strange that you can draft a guy and you feel, well, we got to make sure he's got the right situation. Just guess what? You're probably going to know pretty quickly. Sure, there are circumstances where a guy works out in a different spot, and bad organizations can make a quarterback be worse than he actually is. But go into it assuming he's probably not the guy. Don't tell him that, of course. And if he's not the guy, guess what? You can move on. You're not going to be married to anything for life. And I think, you know, coaches and general managers are thinking about their jobs and trying to keep it long term. You shouldn't be thinking about your job in a situation like this. You got to think what is in the best interest
of the
team I'm working for.
And maybe now that we've seen some success from second chance guys, like maybe we'll see teams move on a little bit easier. The fact that you have Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold all having success, Justin Fields to an extent having success in the NFL right now. Like you're seeing guys on their second chances. Jared Goff, you can't ignore. And like, so you're not stuck forever like you used to be. Like there is talented quarterbacks that in the past seems like people wouldn't give a chance to. And now, you know, if Drake is not good and you're in a position to draft a quarterback in 2 years, you might want to move on. I mean, that's why I think like what the Arizona Cardinals did, I give them so much credit for that, for taking Josh Rosen and a year later having the number one overall pick and saying, that's not the guy.
Yeah.
We're moving on.
Yeah.
I think it was a story that came out today, I don't know if you saw this, from Mike Shanahan, that after RG3 won Rookie of the Year, he tried to go to Daniel Snyder, and he demanded they trade RG3. He said, this guy's not as good as you think. Trade RG3 now for multiple first-round picks and give Kirk Cousins the job.
Wow.
Now, that might be revisionist history
a little bit of it.
But if you know the guy's not the guy, like, you move on.
Yeah.
And like that's why teams like who are in a bad position – like the Jacksonville Jaguars now, who've just given Trevor Lawrence $35 or $55 million, they're screwed. Like, you never want to be in that spot.
And I think for the Jaguars, they clearly assumed that Trevor Lawrence was going to live up to the hype. But you can't get swept away by the hype of a prospect. You can't. Sure, sometimes the guy lives up to the billing, but, I mean, last year with the Bryce Young stuff, I was shocked by how many people were certain Bryce was going to be good in the pros. I thought, based off of what I saw against Alabama specifically, or when he was at Alabama, specifically his game against Texas, I thought to myself, oh, my God, this guy's incredible. Texas had a really good defensive line in that game. I remember watching it firsthand, and it just felt like they never had a chance to get to him. But that's the college level. Tebow had his moments like that, too, at the college level. Once you get to that pro level, things can change on a dime. And, I mean, yeah, with Stroud being as good as he's been, with all the complaining that was being done because the Texans won the last game of the year and they didn't give themselves a chance to get Bryce Young, you really never know. Everything that is done before the draft. Sorry, Lance. It is just so inexact as a science. So go into it assuming that you don't know anything.
Especially at quarterback.
If you get the guy, hey, great. But you shouldn't. People lock themselves into these situations. But anyway, to bring it back to Drake May, I do not think that Drake May is going to be the guy. He might. I hope I'm wrong. Specifically because I grew up rooting for that team. But if he is the guy, I don't think he's going to start on Sunday. I think if it starts, it's going to take a couple of weeks, sort of like we saw last year with C.J. Stroud, sort of like you're seeing this year with Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. First game? Come on. I know it's happened, but we're not talking the first game of the year anymore. We're talking about a third of the way into the season.
Yeah, and even then, like when people say, like, well, look at this guy, X's first game, I feel like there's always a little bit of fakeness with that. Like people might use Patrick Mahomes as an example. Oh, so when he started in week 17 as a rookie for the first time and went absolutely nuts and was awesome. Like, you can't use that as a reference point for, like, what a rookie quarterback might do in their first start. It's totally a false equivalent
of what's happening. I mean, he was a second-year player, you know? I mean, yeah. it's at that point, you're a second-year player if it's week 17.
Yeah.
And there's this other idea, too. You can't put the guy in there. Guess what? I mean, eventually you're going to have to. And I think the Patriots wasted 5 weeks by not putting in May until now.
Yeah, I'm very pro. If you draft a quarterback, start him. Like, unless you are Aaron Rodgers, who is behind Brett Favre, Jordan Love behind Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes behind Alex Smith. Like, unless you're drafted into a situation like that,
the team's winning, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
And you have like a legit either Hall of Fame or pretty solid quarterback in front of you, you should play.
Remember when the Texans almost did that with Tom Savage over Deshaun Watson? I mean, they made the playoffs the year before. For a half. I mean, they almost did it, but they were saying going into it, hey, Savage. Watson, by week three, was showing, oh, yeah, he's really good. Now, not anymore, clearly, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, some more, but you got to put the guy in. They finally put him in. And I feel like they're actually setting him up to fail here because I saw this ridiculous quote from their offensive coordinator, who I told you earlier in the week was their 12th choice as offensive coordinator. Alex Van Pelt was their 12th choice. Alex Van Pelt said this is why they decided to turn over to Drake May. To see his growth and development over weeks of practice and what he's put on the practice field, that's why we're making this move. Against backups? So what Drake May's been doing against backups is why you decided to move on from Jacoby Brissett, who you told was going to be the starter going into the year?
Yeah, because they were putting Drake May out there with the ones in practice.
Yeah,
So they were intentionally taking their starting quarterback off the field, giving him less reps with the guys he was going to play with, to have Drake May out there. I mean, just start him last week.
Yeah.
Start him last week versus Miami, not his first game against the Texans. Like, you're setting this kid up to fail, and the Texans should, you know, ruin this kid's confidence in 1 week.
They should
be all over. They should be swarming all over the place, even without Lassiter, even without Jimmy Ward. Like, this defensive line should be giving Drake May nightmares on Sunday.
Nightmares. Texans, swarm! All right, he's Joe and Paul. Sean back in Mission Control. B-Mac out here. We are at Drift in the Heights. Come on out. Say hi. About to have my first sip of this glorious ranch water with tahini on the rim. We go around the NFL next. We talk a little bit about what went down on Thursday Night Football. And on top of that, some other things. More Jets drama. And, oh, my God. Did he ask the question? Per Troy Aikman, yes. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Jack! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Around the NFL we go. We got Texans and Patriots on Sunday. You want to weigh in on that game. The Texans 6.5-point favorites. I'm at a 9 on the confidence scale that they will win the game. I'm at a 4.9999999999 that they will cover the 6.5-point spread. Joe, where are you?
10-7.
There we go. Now, Thursday night football, decent game. 49ers took down the Seahawks 36-24. My friend Jordan Mason, whose name I could not get right until this moment right here, injured his shoulder. So, once again, another team dealing with injuries, overcoming them like the Texans should with Nico Collins. Jordan Mason was Christian McCaffrey's backup. Now he's hurt. We'll see how much time he misses. The Seahawks turned the football over a little bit too much. I did find it very interesting that today Mike McDonald, whose Seahawks have lost 3 in a row, during his press conference supposedly talked about the WNBA finals last night.
Oh.
Asking if people caught the game. I will say, as someone who once pandered to Seattle, see the shirt I'm wearing right now on ESPN Houston and at ESPN 975 on Twitch. Saying that you watch WNBA basketball works in Seattle.
Oh, really?
It does.
So today they're leading with the fact that the WNBA finals are, what, 1-0?
I guess.
And they're moving to a 7-game series.
Look, man,
I
don't even know who's playing in it. I don't. I get like 4 push notifications last night for the WNBA finals. No, it's just not for me.
The Minnesota Lynx and the New York Liberty.
But Mike McDonald is asking reporters who are at his press conference, who probably watched the Thursday night football game last night,
mm-hmm.
if they got the WNBA finals.
Hey, I mean,
I got to find the audio of this. Somebody, one of my buddies in Seattle sent me this, and I mean, my God, the guy is learning to pander really quickly. Sham Sterania needs to stop trying so hard with the leather jacket on ESPN. You're not Billy Lucci. You'll never be Billy Lucci. Only he can wear those. Now, continuing to go around the NFL, and speaking of Thursday night football, did you see the cute moment with the wives? Did you see it? Joe, you're married. B-Mac's married. Did you see?
I think I missed it.
Do you believe in love? I mean, first off, George Kittle scored a touchdown,
mm-hmm.
and George Kittle went up to his wife in the stands, and she shoved him away, and it was kind of abusive, but it was cute. And on top of that, Kyle Juszczyk, he did the same thing.
Oh.
Love. Mm. They found love in a hopeless place. Seattle. Because Seattle's a hopeless place in the general area around downtown because of all the homeless. Other Fenty Wendy.
Fenty Wendy. I was going to say, are we going to get a Fenty Wendy reference there? Yes. No, I did not. I must have missed that in yesterday's game.
Well, damn.
But they saw love. They found love. That's
all
that matters.
Love.
They found love and they found wins.
They did. By the way, the Seahawks were 3-0 at one point. They have played 3 games in the last 11 days. They are now 3-3.
Mm.
Does this make you concerned about the Texans' stretch later this year where they play 3 games in, I believe, 10 days?
No, it doesn't really change my perspective on it.
Okay.
Just because I was already nervous, I guess.
There we go.
It's the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you might have Skylar Thompson or Tyler Huntley or Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback in that first one. They should beat Miami. The next 2 games are tough. It's really that stretch, the Saturday into Wednesday, where you go Chiefs to Ravens. That is terrifying. Seattle probably just is a little – the 3-0 start was just a little fraudulent, kind of seems like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
San Francisco is going to win that division.
They're going to miss Pete Carroll. I don't know why they moved on from him. I don't think he was the issue. There were moments last night where Geno Smith's yelling at the sidelines. You could tell Geno's annoyed with some of the things that are going on there. And honestly, Geno has played well there. He's not the reason. But anyway, continuing to go around the NFL, Troy Aikman, I guess on Pardon My Take on Wednesday, suggested something. And I'm surprised it didn't break the internet. But we already had a little bit of PR cleanup going on. We asked about love. Do you believe in love? Do you believe in love? Do I believe in love? I believe in love now because per Troy Aikman, a little birdie told him that Travis Kelce may have popped the question to Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God!
I feel like that would get some bigger attention there, Paul. We've gone from, what was that story? The PR, remember that? The PR letter? The breakup letter?
Yeah.
To now they're engaged?
Just keeping us guessing.
I mean, there's no one knows what's going on inside the world of Taylor Swift. That's clearly what's happening.
Well, her psychotic fans do. That's for sure.
How about
they stalk her.
I feel like they would be
the creepiest people in the world.
Her fans will have such a meltdown if like an NFL commentator breaks the fact that they're engaged.
Over
them.
Who is the go-to source for all things Taylor Swift?
It's a great question.
Sam, do you know? No. Okay.
The go-to source? No. I don't know.
There's got to be somebody. Like, who is Brian Windhorst? Who is the Brian Windhorst of Taylor Swift? That's what I want to know. Brian Windhorst, famously. LeBron James, first media guy going back to his time in Cleveland.
I think we just assume TMZ, like, as a whole.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is Troy Aikman who's breaking this one. So, like, this is the most that we've seen. I want to see love. I believe in love. Mm. I want to believe in marriage. It's hard.
But if Travis and Taylor can do it, then Paul and blank can do it.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying I believe in it for me. I'm saying I want to believe in the institution of marriage.
Gotcha.
For others.
Gotcha.
You know?
That makes sense.
You guys are married.
We are
Shout
married.
Out. Yes. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I'm not applauding out of bitterness at all. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Continuing to go around the NFL. By the way, everyone forget about this storyline. The Jets, Hassan Reddick. The Jets are such a mess that a guy who they traded for this offseason who has yet to report, that's not even a story because they fired their head coach this week. So Hassan Reddick, he is still holding out. And his agents just fired him. CAA fired Hassan Reddick. He has lost nearly $5 million in holding out. None of that money comes back. And the longer he stays out, the closer he gets to not having a year told on his contract. So he'd still be a Jet next year, potentially losing more and more money.
Yeah, this is actually, for once, a story broke the right way for the Jets. It makes them look much better.
Diamond hands.
Like, it makes them look much better.
For sure.
In this situation, the fact that his own agency has fired him. I mean, typically you only see this when, like, a player is a scumbag. Like, an agency will disassociate from them.
Yeah, I think Drew Rosenhaus fired Antonio Brown.
Yeah, yep.
That was
the last one that I remember was that, you know, Antonio Brown was just doing so much bad stuff and bad faith acts and negotiations that he fired him. And then now we see Hassan Reddick get fired. And, I mean, I don't know what he thinks is going to happen. But that to me seems like they were like, hey, dude, it's time to show up. And he said no. And they said, all right, well, we're out.
This is all I have as a Patriots fan because the Texans are going to kill him on Sunday. This is all I have. All I have is just laughing at the Jets. It's Hassan Reddick. It's Sauce Gardner going off of social media because there's so much negativity. But he did say at a press conference this week that he's playing for Robert Saleh.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice of them to play now for Robert Saleh.
They always were. This firing makes no sense. It really doesn't.
No.
It's not his fault. I think he was an underwhelming coach, but it wasn't his fault.
No, I re-listened to the Aaron Rodgers on McAfee yesterday, mm-hmm. and Aaron Rodgers is pretty adamant he had nothing to do with this, and that the Woody Johnson call was about his injury and nothing to do with this. I also remember someone brought up this. Remember there was a story about Woody Johnson and Robert Saleh?
Yes.
This offseason where they got into a screaming match at the
Yes.
Like, this actually does seem more like an owner. Like, maybe it wasn't Aaron that got him fired. Like, I know, you know, it's been disputed a little bit what was said on the Ass Man's podcast about the Lebanese flag that Robert Saleh was wearing.
Well,
and
Saleh,
that's the reason why it's been. But he's been wearing that for years.
Saleh even said this was football related.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with me wearing a Lebanese flag. But, yeah, people took that and ran with it.
They did. They ran with it.
I'm baffled.
Me too.
We wish him well. I am baffled. I am baffled. Anyway, hey, it is Galan and George. He's Joe. I am Paul. We have some more comments coming in. I asked, hey, what's your confidence level in the Houston Texans beating the Patriots on Sunday? And on top of that, what's your confidence level that it'll be a blowout? One texter says, I'm about as confident as I am there will be a Laremy Tunsil false start. Well, I'll have you know, sir, that Laremy Tunsil hasn't had a false start in 2 weeks. I know it's hard to believe, but he hasn't.
Yes, but he still had lots of penalties the week before last week.
True, but last week he had none.
Yeah, no penalties last week.
Yeah, who don't believe in Laremy Tunsil.
Can he go back-to-back weeks?
I mean, I will admit that if there were ever a time
We'll scale of 1 to 10.
To bet on Laramie Tunsil to have a false start, it would be a road game. But at the same time, they're playing in Massachusetts.
Be quiet.
At Gillette Stadium, right. No one wants to go to Foxborough as it is. No one really wants to go to Foxborough, which is about an hour and a half south of Boston. No one wants to go to watch this team play. So I think it's going to be quiet enough where Laramie Tunsil has a third straight game without a false start.
That'd be great. I mean,
it would be great.
Maybe the other penalties will subside as well for the whole team, not just for Laramie. Because they still had a lot last week. It was 7 in the second half? 7 penalties, I think it was. So they still need to tone that down a little bit, Paul. Not as many penalties.
Yeah, not as many. It would be nice. No, less penalties and less shooting yourself in the foot, specifically in the second half. I would like to see the offense actually put together 60 minutes of good football. We'll see if it happens. He is Joe. I am Paul. We are at Drift in the Heights here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can join us on Twitch and watch us in crystal clear HD at ESPN 97.5 on Twitch, on YouTube, at ESPN Houston. Coming up next, okay, the Texans are dealing with some injuries. The latest on Joe Mixon, the practice today was going to determine whether or not he plays on Sunday. And do you have more confidence in the offense or defense to overcome the many injuries that they are dealing with? It is Gallant and George with Joe George and Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Drift Bar in the Heights.
Yes, we are at Drift. It is a beautiful day outside. We are settling into the good weather season. At least I hope.
Hopefully.
At least I hope. It is nice, balmy. There's a breeze here. Beautiful deck here at Drift. I'm enjoying a ranch water. Joe, what are you drinking right now?
A little Dos Equis.
Dos Equis. Company man. Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yep.
Love it. So, I just want to do a little quick rant, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
You ever hear something that just gets stuck in your head? You hear it over and over again.
Yes.
It just brings back traumatic memories every single time you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, we'll get back to sports, but when I was working at Hannaford's Grocery Store in North Quincy, Massachusetts, for 3 years, we had this playlist. This playlist played the same 16 songs over and over again. There were some good songs, like Baker Street by Jerry Raftery, among others. But there was one song that played on this playlist, and it made me want to get run over by the shopping carts that I would occasionally have to push into its little bin.
Mm-hmm.
It made me want to roll in the glass from the bottle machines that I sometimes had to stop Korean women from beating with sticks. It's a song by Toad the Wet Sprocket. All I want is to feel this way. I hate that song with an effing passion because that song played, I feel like, a just disastrously high amount of times when I was working at old Hannaford's, and I just heard it, and I had flashbacks. I had flashbacks to all the times that I had to separate angry old Irish people from some poor non-English-speaking Korean folks in very, 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 as one would say, racist city that I grew up in. Never fun. Because the Irish people were always angry at the poor Korean people.
Always angry.
It was ridiculous. And I hate that song. Anyway, just let me get that off my chest.
No, that, like, I'm trying to think like what, like, from all my retail years, because I had quite a few. Probably close to a decade, honestly, in total. I always just, I despise the Christmas music.
Oh!
I like Christmas music, but when you work there every day,
you don't have the Christmas spirit.
And it's the same songs. And it's not the good versions of the songs. It's always like a knockoff. I just got tired of them. I got tired of Christmas music. It, like, ruined it for me. I don't listen to Christmas music anymore because of retail, I think.
I used to really, really love it. Now, man. Like, I pretty much only, like, there's, like, I have, like, a 10-day window of Christmas music. But, like, once December 20th, once Christmas is over, like, when the Texans kick off, Christmas music, over. That's it for me this year. I'm not going to, like, December 26th, no chance.
Are you a communist?
Definitely not.
You're definitely not being Elvis right now, that's for sure.
Well, because I'm short.
No, I did not say that. you're not.
No, like, that sure sounded like it, Paul.
If you're working at a company and the Christmas music's on, like Buddy the Elf, he cared. What about you?
Well, he's an elf. He's a tall elf.
No, he's
he's an elf.
I knew what I was doing there. Sorry. Oh, God. Anyway, hey, guys. It is Galan and George on a Friday. We are here at Drift. Oh, those cats are so cute. I love them so much. Oh, my gosh. I just want to take one home. But I don't actually want to because my cat wouldn't like it. So, Texans and Patriots on Sunday. And, yeah, it's that kind of week.
It is. It's like one of the hardest part with the NFL season is when we start to have really bad teams and they come up on your schedule. I mean, for years it was the Texans were the bad team
right.
coming up. So, we just didn't talk about the Texans. But it's a game like this, it's just the expectations are just so simple.
For sure.
They're not high. They're simple. Beat bad football team. Okay. Like that's what it's supposed to be. Like destroy the Patriots. Pretty simple. I mean, it's really hard to fathom a way in which they lose this game without a major injury.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And really, that means to CJ. Like, will fans show up because it's Drake May's first game, you think?
No.
Yeah.
No, they're miserable. They all hate it.
Well, because they don't understand what it's like to be a normal team.
Exactly.
Yeah, like they
it's
think
it's what Astros fans might be dealing with in 3 to 4 years.
Maybe a little bit now. We saw attendance drop.
A little bit now.
We saw attendance drop
yeah,
by quite a...
but not...
Close to 3 million people less this year than last year.
Fair. But I think that's more about how poorly the season began.
That's probably true.
I still think that the Astros are a good team and mm-hmm. that they should win the American League West this coming season.
Agreed.
The Patriots fans have seen 5 years of a mediocre product, and all of the heroes of 2 decades are gone. No Tom Brady, no Bill Belichick, so it's different. But a couple of years from now, I could see Astros fans in this spot where it's really hard to get people excited enough to actually go to the games. But the other thing is, too, the Astros at least play their games in the middle of downtown. And while there may be I read this on the internet, there's apparently a poop problem downtown. The homeless are pooping everywhere.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently we're getting a little San Francisco action here.
Oh.
But still, downtown Houston is significantly better than Foxborough, Massachusetts, which is an absolute dump, and it's so far away from any civilization. Brutal to get to. $50 to park in their parking lots. It's outrageous.
Yeah, it's not one of those that's like on your bucket list, I would say. Maybe when Tom was there it was. Like, you want to go see what the environment is in New England. But now at this point, without him, like I'm pretty good without, you know, seeing going to New England ever for a game. Well, I'm just going to pass on that. Maybe if they're good. Maybe Drake May's good. But
yeah, it's so out of the way. I actually tell anybody, if you're going this weekend, bless your heart, it's going to be tough. I would advise staying downtown Boston and taking the commuter rail from Boston all the way down and make sure you get on the way back, because it's such a hike. And, I mean, driving there and drinking there, it's just not something that lends itself to having any enjoyment whatsoever. I mean, this is why they were one of the worst teams and least cared about teams in the NFL until they got Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Because it's so out of the way and it stinks.
Yeah, if your stadium's not closed.
You should kill them tomorrow.
Tough.
You should kill them on Sunday. They should be killed, you know?
Put them out of their misery. Those stupid old uniforms.
Those uniforms are sick.
I like the logo a lot.
You don't like the uniform. You don't like the uniform though?
I don't like the red.
Why not?
I don't know. Like, I wish they it's part of, like, I wish they used like a little bit. I wish sometimes in sports, instead of having to change everything, they would just change a little bit.
Okay.
Like, instead of like I don't like the new Patriots logo versus the old one.
The Flying Elvis.
But I kind of like the new colors better. Like, I like the newer Patriots.
The navy and red?
Yeah.
Because no other team does that.
I know.
The Texans.
I know. Texans aren't navy. They're Yankee blue.
It is navy blue.
Yankee blue.
There's too many teams with blue as the dominant color. There should be another team with red. The problem is the Patriots had the absolute worst history with those uniforms.
They went to a Super Bowl.
It's kind of like the Buccaneers creamsicle uniforms.
Oh, those are great.
They're great, but they sucked with them.
Yeah.
And they moved to the new uniforms, and then they go to a couple of Super Bowls, and they win them both.
Not to go too deep into the uniform
talk. Let's go deep into the uniform talk, because the Patriots blow, and the Texans should kill them by 8,000 points on Sunday, even though I'm still 4.9999999999 confidence level in them covering the spread.
When I was at the game on Sunday, I kind of was like, I wish these were the permanent uniforms. The H-Town blue.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah. I thought the stadium looked cool, like the logos and the end zone and everything. And I wish they just would have gone with the permanent uniforms that way instead of it making like twice a year.
Yeah, they're not going to because Cal McNair wants to honor his dad. I think that's what it has to do with. That's the original logo that they had, so they want to keep that as the dominant logo. But it is pretty interesting to see a team put lettering on the side of their helmets in the NFL. There's only a few teams that do that. I think it's just Chicago, the Packers, and Kansas City. San Francisco as well.
San Francisco.
That's pretty much it, though.
That should be everyone. That's everyone.
I'm pretty sure that's everybody.
Yeah, everyone else just does logos.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Or maybe the Commanders now because they went to the W and they went away from the old chief suntan. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't remember.
Okay. Riveting.
They won by 30 points this weekend? 20 points?
I mean, there are some good games in the NFL this weekend. There really are, and that's probably the best game of the weekend. It's Commanders-Ravens. You got a little Lamar Jackson. You got a little Jaden Daniels. That's going to be fun. But, of course, we got the Texas Patriots. There's no buzz. People weren't feeling it after they beat the Bills. This is a town that just demands excellence.
I mean, excellence is. I mean, but they're pretty damn close. Like, they're 4-1 on the season. Like, I'm still baffled by it. You know, I saw that Reddit post that in the group chat that you sent.
Oh yeah.
When it was someone just like going through, it's like.
Let me read this Reddit post. So look, guys, there is. Why is this not loading? Here it is. Texans versus Texans fans. The Texans, third most passing yards in the league. Texans fans, fire the offensive coordinator. He makes Stroud look bad. Texans defense, ranked fourth in the league. Texans fans, let's hire a new defensive coordinator. Texans, lose 13 games and have a terrible season. Texans fans, we could have easily won 12 of those games. We're better than people really think we are. That's the Davis Mills era. Texans are 4-1 with a healthy division lead. Texans fans, we could easily have lost every game. We're not as good as we think we are. Why are we like this?
I don't know. I don't know. I need to like try to get a better grasp of like inside the Texans fan like mind, because it does seem to be that no matter what they do, it's not good enough. And then when it's bad, they feel like it's better. So it's these weird like standards that kind of flip on their head. But they're 4-1. They should win by at least 10 points this weekend. And that should be good enough. Like, it's the NFL. Expecting the Texans to win by 20 points this weekend is crazy. Because it's just that doesn't happen that often in the NFL. So to expect it is too much. It might happen. But to go with the expectation they're going to win by 20-plus points. I saw someone say even earlier, like,
it barely happens in college football now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I saw someone say, like, 6.5 is disrespectful to the Texans. It's not. It's not. You don't see NFL lines that are typically higher than 7. Very rarely, especially when you're on the road, does that happen. Because if you think about it, you always have to remember if it was a home game, they would add 3 points to it. Because the home team automatically starts as a 3-point favorite. So if this game was a neutral site, the Texans would be 9.5-point favorites right now. So,
is that a rule that it has to start as a 3-point favorite?
That's just how they do it. That's how they do it. Yeah.
Okay.
The home team always gets like a 3-point advantage.
Shams needs to chill with this leather jacket.
It's a lot.
Shams Charania of ESPN. He's wearing a leather jacket on TV. I'm sorry. I can't. I can't with him.
And you got Marty in his cowboy hat.
I can't. It's slightly more believable with Billy Lucci doing it.
You've ever been to
Texas? I can't with this guy.
You ever been to the State Fair?
Yeah, I have.
I haven't gone yet.
Do you want me to tell you a State Fair experience? and it made me out of the state fair.
Uh-oh.
So, okay. Beer is obviously a drink that you pour into a glass, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's what we all agree upon. So imagine you're in line looking to get beer at the state fair. You're in line for a while, and you know that you're going to have to pay an outrageous amount of money for this beer at the state fair. So you go up to the front, and you're wondering what you're going to get. This person, to give you the beer, puts the cup that they are going to give to you, dips it into, get this.
Oh, a vat of beer?
Even worse, a cooler of beer with ice in it. And they are dipping their hand into it to get the beer into the cup. I swear to God, this was at the Texas-Oklahoma game in the state fair for the... They beat Kyler Murray. Was this 2018, okay. I think? I think it was 2018. I couldn't believe what I saw.
That's tough.
That is just disgusting.
Yeah.
And I was out on the state fair there. And you know what, Big Tex? He deserved to be burned alive. He deserved to be burned like he was that one time after that happened. That was an absolute disgrace. What are we doing? We're putting beer and ice together in a cooler, and then on top of that, instead of having like a vat, like a ladle. The person
scoop it in
with their hand. $7.
Did you drink it?
No comment.
That's a yes.
No comment.
That's a yes.
No comment. But at that point, you're in the line for this long.
I know. You're kind of pot committed at
it's
that point.
It's hot. It's brutal. It's brutal sometimes at the state fair.
It would have been a great year to go. Honestly.
Indeed. Anyway, you know it's not the state fair, Drift. We're here. We're here till 3, then the Killer Bees take over. We're going to be here all afternoon. It's a beautiful day. Come out and hang out with us. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.